Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are continuing our conversations with some of the wonderful authors that are participating in the Bookstube events. And the Bookstube is still virtual. And the next Bookstube event is going to be at 7 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, October 21st. And we want to welcome to KDWA Priscilla Patton. She is an author. She writes mysteries, and she likes to set them in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, which is always so fun. So we want to welcome her back to KDWA. We actually met a while ago. Nice to see you again.
Yes, I think when my first book came out, Where Privacy Dies, and it is good to be back here. It's good to be, even though we're still so virtual, it's good to be out and about safely.
You know, it is, but let's talk about the pandemic, because before we went on the air, you were saying that time for somebody that's an author is, it kind of stands still during a pandemic. What does that actually mean?
Well, in a way, Should Grace Fail is a product of the pandemic. It was written before the pandemic. It was written before the killing of George Floyd, and I mention that because there are encounters between police and people of color in this book. It's shaded differently now, and it was about to be printed when the shutdown happened. The shutdown even affected printing because the supply chain became dedicated to getting medical supply, as it should have been. But that meant that so many other things were delayed, so the actual physical printing of the book was delayed. And then you couldn't have a live event, as I so often do, often at Once Upon a Crime, that wonderful bookstore up in Minneapolis. So I had to figure out how to go virtual, and the book was delayed by a couple months. It actually came out last winter. And meanwhile, you're always supposed to be writing the next one.
Oh, you are?
Yes. You're really supposed to have the next one done when the current one appears in print. I'm not that fast.
Seems like a lot of pressure.
It is. And I'm a slow writer. But I think a couple of things happened. Trying to figure out how to talk to people about my book when I couldn't talk to people. That was a hard thing. And coping with just the stress of the pandemic, the worry, the concern about family. My husband was in a position where he had to see that hundreds of people could get to work safely and be safe at work. So it was very challenging that way. And then you can fall into a rhythm if you're a writer and don't leave the house much anyway of, well, I have lots of time. I'm not going anywhere. And you can kind of get into a sinkhole like that. And one thing I find very important to my creativity, and maybe I'm not that creative, maybe I need a lot of outside props, is when I'm researching the next book, I really do need to go to specific sites. Now, I'll talk a little bit about Should Grace Fail, because if you read that one, you'll notice a lot of Twin Cities landmarks in there. The Stone Arch Bridge plays a big role, as do the Mill City ruins, that area.
I think that's what makes the Bookstube event so fun, because most of them are Minnesota authors, with many of the books set in this area. And as a reader, I find that more interesting. Do you find that as a reader also?
Yes, because you can visualize it better. It is a trick for the writer, because you have to write it for someone who's never, ever seen the cities. But you also want enough so that you really do connect with that local reader. And they can say, oh, Betty Danger's, that's a weird place. I have been there.
Yes, that is a weird place. And yes. I've been there too.
Yes, yes.
I think everybody should go there at least once.
Yes.
Priscilla, you mentioned your first book, Where Privacy Dies. And now this is a continuation of that saga, Should Grace Fail. So how long in between the two books did you have? How long did it take you to write your second book?
About 18 months, but then you have another 6 to 8 months. Some of it revision, and some of it was getting through those pandemic issues I wrote about. Ideally, mystery writers churn one out every year, but I find I'm more on 18 months to 2 years, because it takes me a while to generate the ideas. I'm very character driven in my writing, and it takes a while for the characters to be fully fleshed in my mind.
So are some of the same characters in each book?
Yes, I have the same detectives, Detective Eric Jansen and his newish partner, Detective Deb Metzger. Both are tall, both are athletic, both are in their 30s, both are attracted to women. Eric tends to be reserved, a little shy, quite clever though. Deb has to think out loud, so she tends to talk a lot, and she says many funny things, none of which I can remember right off the top of my head, which is why you have to absolutely read the book. but they do clash a little. And they also have different strengths and see things from different perspectives. In Where Privacy Dies, there's a corporate cover-up. And Eric is a little better at that kind of scheming, that kind of false face. Deb knows more about domestic abuse and how women are manipulated, which is important and should Grace fail, and also in the book I'm writing now.
So these are mysteries, and when you set out to become a writer, did you know the genre you wanted to write in?
I had a long career before these books as an academic scholar, and I wrote articles that only academics read, though I did write a book that was kind of a crossover book on Robert Frost and painter Andrew Wyeth, because I'm from New England, and I knew that work quite well. I actually started writing the mysteries on a bit of a dare. You know, we live in Little Scandinavia here in Minnesota.
We sure do.
I am not Scandinavian. However, my husband's family can trace their roots back to certain fjords in Norway. And like so many with that background, he got quite obsessed with Nordic noir, which was on TV with like the Wallander series, but Jo Nesbø, the Kurt Wallander series that I mentioned, quite a few others like that. And I may have started making fun of them, saying, let me guess, the detective's damaged. Somebody murdered his wife or his lover or his dog. He grew up in a bat cave. He drinks too much. He never sleeps, and a few other things like that. So in part, what I'm writing is a little bit of a parody of that, because both Eric and Deb are pretty healthy, and they both grew up in Iowa. What could be more wholesome than that?
What can be more wholesome?
So I'm playing a little bit with that, and there is a lot of humor in these books. That said, there is still that darker side. It was not completely flippant. I mean, I write these books in part because it gives me a way to cope with problems that are often quite difficult. Invasions of privacy and exploitation of children in the first one. In Should Grace Fail, there's characters who are empathetic, including a young college-aged girl, to people who are in high-risk situations, like the teenage children of alcoholics, for example, or teenage drug abusers. You want to help those people, but because they're in a risky situation, it becomes risky for the person who wants to save them. So Should Grace Fail opens with a body found in a dumpster. It's the body of a former policeman who had some problems when he was on the force, and that's part of the story, but who is redeeming himself by rescuing kids off the street. Only he's the one that ends up dead in the dumpster. So it's a little bit of a question of how far can you go? And maybe I'll talk for a minute. You were talking about you have a college-age daughter.
One of the whose name is Grace, and I hope Grace does not fail, by the way. I'm just going to say.
Well, should. It's tentative. But one of the major characters is Jalen Dudek. On one side of the family, she's African-American. On the other side, Polish-American. And she's a gifted pianist. But because things happen, even to the young, she had mono, a boyfriend dumped her, and some other family issue, she didn't quite finish the last year of high school. And it's the summer. She has to get those credits done so she can go on to study music at the University of Minnesota. But that's an age, as you've seen, when the future is both this huge promise and also it can seem totally unrealizable. I can't get there. I don't know how to get there. I don't know what it looks like. So she's in a bit of a panic at the same time that friends around her are falling apart because of addiction issues or families with addiction issues. And she becomes a little too involved in that.
Da, da, da.
Da, da, da.
So this event, again, is going to be at 7 o'clock p.m. October 21st. It's a Thursday night. It's a virtual event, and this is part of the Bookstube series, and Priscilla's new book is out, and it's called Should Grace Fail? And do you find that it's kind of fun because you can actually attract more people to these events because they're online? So you can come and still be at your house.
Yes, and actually, I will not be at my house. I will be in Maine, so I have to negotiate the time difference. Because
yes, you do.
I have,
that's where you grew up, isn't
right,
it?
Right, so I have sort of an insider-outsider eye on the Midwest because I've lived in the Midwest with my adult life. My husband and his family are all local to the area. And New England has a lot of similarities, but there's maybe a little more distancing there, maybe a just a sliver more irony. But yes, I'll be broadcasting from Maine, so that is absolutely wonderful. These are family I've not been able to see for 2 years.
Oh, how wonderful. Congratulations. That'll be great. And is Maine as beautiful as I think it is? I've never been there.
Yes.
In one word, yes.
Yes. Yes, and I'll be in various places, but I'll be partly in the Rangeley, Maine area, which is a lot like going to the North Shore.
Okay.
Where there's mountains, there's lakes, there's greenery, unfortunately cold weather. And instead of lutefisk, you get lobster. I think the Midwest is my home, and in a way, creating these characters is an homage to the Midwest.
Priscilla, when you first started your first book in the series called Where Privacy Dies, did you know that it was going to be a series, or were you getting towards the end of it and you're thinking, I can't wrap this up, these characters are too great? How does that work?
My editor told me.
Oh, okay.
Well, in writing the novel, you really have to think of it in some ways as a standalone, but with series potential. And being my first novel and doing a totally, I had written a children's book before, which was fiction, but that leap from argumentative, research-driven writing to fun fiction, it's a wonderful leap to make, but I fell down a lot, and it was hard. So I just felt so lucky to get it done that I don't think I even pitched it as a series. You just pitch it as, here's a wonderful mystery. But my editor said, this is a series, isn't it? So I said, yes, of course.
And you were
contract for book two.
You weren't sure that it was, but you wanted
right.
it to be.
Right. You sort of, in a way, that's as much the press's call as it is yours.
And how will you know when the series is done?
Again, your editor might tell you.
Let's pretend that doesn't happen. Let's pretend it's your idea. How will you know?
That's a good question, because some series run about 4 to 6 books.
Okay.
But then you'll have some, Louise Penny with her Inspector Gamache series, that's maybe on book 20. Sometimes you kill off a character like Sherlock Holmes, and you have to dig him up again. So it's a little hard to say. I think you have to be prepared for your detectives to age a little, I think, in this climate. I do not have my series completely tied to the clock. You know, my characters, for every 7 years we age, our characters age about 1 year.
I kind of like this.
Yeah.
Can I be in one of your books?
Yeah. Which is something a book series can do a little better than a TV series.
No kidding.
You know, it gets hard for TV series to always pretend that this person is young and unmarried. But on the other hand, you do want to see the characters grow a bit. Again, to mention Sherlock Holmes, Sherlock and Watson seem pretty much fixed in time.
They did.
Sue Grafton's Kinsey Millhone, if I pronounce that right, did mature somewhat as the series went on. And I've read other series where detectives marry, divorce, have children. And in others like the Rex Stout's Nero Wolfe series with Archie Goodwin and Nero Wolfe, those characters are always the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And always sort of have the same issues. So it's a little bit up to the author, but I think with my books, which are somewhat realistic, it makes sense to mature them a little. Maybe not quite as fast as we mature, but you don't want to see the same drama in every issue. Then they're like a teenager that won't grow up.
Right. And I think also people want to know, you get invested in a character and you want to know, what is their personal life like now? What are, you know, different facets like that?
I haven't reached the phase, and I've heard this from a British author, and I've heard it about Tony Hillerman's series set in the Southwest, that people would write in suggesting, you know, a wife for the main detective character. You know, they would take it so seriously, they'd write in saying, no, he shouldn't do that. Or they would say what diagnosis he should receive. So some people invest heavily in these characters.
Yes, yes, no kidding. So this is going to be at least one of 3 books, maybe more, you're not sure. So when do we expect your next book out?
Where the House Burns,
oh,
which I'm describing as sex and real estate and some fire.
Oh, dear.
And some arson. But sex and real estate, probably the end of next year, because it's fighting me. Partly that's the COVID thing. I couldn't go to see locations like I'd hoped to. I wasn't out around to hear snippets of conversation I could plagiarize, that sort of thing. But it is coming along. And as I said, I used writing is a way to approach topics that can be difficult to handle. Addiction, privacy violations, exploitation, in this case, the housing market. As we know, it's very volatile right now. People can't find places to live. There's debate on what affordable housing is. Should encampments be allowed? All that kind of thing. And I don't make policy and I don't write policy. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm trying to get inside it to see what some of the issues are and what they might force the people who might be homeless or who maybe are in development, what it might force them to do. What mischief it might put them up to.
Oh, goodness. Priscilla, this is so fun to chat with you. So you mentioned COVID. It was difficult to write during COVID. Do you have set hours you write? Or do you say, I'm going to write Monday, Wednesday, Friday at these times? And then my other question always, do you have a certain part of your house you like to write in? Or do you like to leave your house? What do you like to do?
Well, I try to write in the morning, not so much because I'm a morning person, but because if it doesn't happen by noon, there's not sure that it will happen at all. I usually can't write all day. Some people can write longer, but often what happens is part of the afternoon will be on social media, they'll be reading other things, or it'll be more of the research, looking at articles or going to a site, that kind of thing. But I do try to write most mornings or it doesn't get done. I did to get my third book, the one that's fought me, started. COVID had sort of set me back because of concern. I was trying to launch the other book without knowing how to do it. I had to write a lot of essays to put online where ordinarily I would have just shown up for something. And I did the write a novel in a month challenge. Now, I already had a lot of ideas. This is, if you're an aspiring writer, it's called NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, if you look up. It's set in November. Now, I had a lot of things written, and I did not write a full novel, but it's almost like you have to write about 1,000 words or up to 1,600 words a day. And a lot of it's garbage, but it forces you to create material and move ahead. That's how I really got way ahead in that novel, because I think, I've heard this from other creative people, the concerns with COVID, and not just COVID, the racial unrest, the uncertainty during the summer about the election, it doesn't matter what view you take on those things, but I think we can say that all around, it was distressing, and it sometimes can be hard to write through that distress. And again, as I said, I think for people like me who, you know, I have sort of office in the family room corner, it can be hard to go down there and really feel motivated. That's one of the writers have to do all kinds of strange tricks to motivate themselves. Sometimes it's setting a word limit or a time limit, or I have to solve this problem with this character today, or I can't eat cake until I've done this.
Well, it's working, Priscilla, whatever you're doing. Congratulations to you on your new book, Should Grace Fail? And we have an opportunity to hear some behind-the-scenes things about the book from Priscilla at the Bookstube event. It's a virtual event, and we will post a link to that on our Facebook page. It's going to be 7 o'clock p.m. on October 21st, which is a Thursday. Great to see you again. Thanks for coming
in. Thanks so much for having me in, Mo.
Really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth. Our guest today was Priscilla Patton, and this is AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.